One of the greatest obstacles to crafting health and wellness is identifying and controlling inflammation. It's at the core of all complex and chronic diseases. And it's the driving mechanism that underlies the most common symptoms that people like you struggle to overcome. Join us as we explore cutting-edge science and research to give you the information and tools you need to create the quality of life you want and deserve. And now, here is the host of Inflammation Nation, Dr. Stephen Noseworthy.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. And we're still talking about the adrenal system. And in the last episode, I told you we're going to talk about adrenal testing. But just to do a really quick recap, in the last episode, we talked about three different dimensions of stress. And that would be the physical, the psychological, and the physiological. And we talked about your stress adaptation system and how that doesn't discriminate. Basically, it reacts the same way to all kinds of stress. It really doesn't matter what kind of stress it is, whether that's an injury, an infection, an illness, or even an argument. To your adrenal stress is just simply stress. And we also talked about how your adrenals coordinate with your blood sugar control, your sleep cycle, your mood regulation, and others to make a significant contribution to your quality of life. And I want to repeat something that I said on the podcast, several months ago. And this is something that I just simply noticed over the years, that the new clients that I work with who start out having reasonable adrenal function get better faster than people who don't, right? And again, that's just simply an observation. And this is true, in my opinion, because your adrenal system and the practical function of cortisol as your key stress hormone, it's tied into your survival mechanisms. And as such, your adrenals integrate with all other major physiological systems that determine your health and your health span, which is just simply a fancy way of saying, your health over long periods of time. That's what the word or the phrase health span refers to. So let's talk about adrenal testing. And we're going to start by noting that your medical doctor is going to look at this radically different than I would and other functional medicine docs. And the reason for that is the fact that your medical doctors in general are focused on diagnosing and treating diseases, where I am interested in improving function. Whether or not a disease is present doesn't really matter. And of course, we want medical doctors to do what medical doctors are good at, and that is managing diseases. But we want them to stick to their lane and not stick their fingers in or mess with things that they don't understand, like health and wellness. And that might sound strange. Maybe it sounds a little bit harsh, but that's the truth of it. Medical doctors learn about diseases and medications. They don't learn about health and wellness. And for the most part, they don't learn about how things like diet and lifestyle and exercise and your environment contribute to your health. But I digress. That's, maybe a conversation for a different day. But if you ask your medical doctor to check your adrenals, if you can convince them to do so in the absence of a suspected disease like Addison's or Cushing's, they're going to order a morning cortisol blood test. And if that comes back normal, they're going to tell you that your adrenals are fine. Except what they really mean is that in ordering a single morning cortisol in a blood test, which comes back normal, they have effectively ruled out adrenal disease, but they can make absolutely no assertions about adrenal function or adrenal dysfunction. Allow me to explain. In a medical world, or in the medical world, there are two diseases that affect the adrenal glands, two primary diseases. One disease causes low adrenal function, low cortisol. The other causes high adrenal function, high cortisol. Let's take them one at a time. So there's this condition called Addison's disease. It is an autoimmune hypoadrenia, autoimmune low cortisol. And this is where someone's immune system attacks the adrenal gland with an antibody against an enzyme called 21-hydroxylase. This is an enzyme in the adrenal tissue that's used to make cortisol. So if someone has actual Addison's disease and their immune system has destroyed enough of this enzyme, they can't make sufficient cortisol to function properly, and their morning cortisol on a single blood test was going to be below the lab range. That's how, or at least the beginning of suspicion that someone might have Addison's. So if someone has symptoms of low cortisol, fatigue is the most common, and a morning cortisol test is lab low, and they have these adrenal antibodies to this enzyme called, again, 21-hydroxylase, then they get diagnosed with Addison's disease, and they get put on a prescription for cortisol. And this is exactly the same process that your MD or an endocrinologist will use to diagnose, say, Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, with the same outcome that you're on a medication for life. So that's Addison's disease in a nutshell. The second adrenal disease common is not even the right word, but it's when people think about adrenal diseases, they think about Addison's and Cushing's. So the second adrenal disease is Cushing's syndrome or Cushing's disease, which honestly can be caused by using steroid medications for long periods of time. But that's the word is iatrogenic. That's like caused by a prescription. But let's talk about true diseases. Like, unlike Addison's disease, which is that autoimmune low adrenal problem, Cushing's disease or Cushing's syndrome creates too much cortisol. And instead of being an autoimmune process, Cushing's is caused by a benign tumor of the pituitary gland. Now, if you followed the podcast for a while, you would have heard me talk about how your adrenal glands and the cortisol they make are part of a larger system called the HPA axis, right? Hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So the pituitary gland makes a hormone called ACTH, and this hormone is used to tell your adrenal glands to make cortisol. So when someone has Cushing's and they have this benign pituitary tumor, the pituitary glands make too much ACTH, and this makes the adrenal glands make too much cortisol. And so the practical outcome of that is things like high blood sugar, weight gain, especially in the torso and the abdomen. If you've seen people with like really round and large torsos with little skinny arms and legs, that is common. It's not the only cause by Cushing's, but it's very common in Cushing's syndrome. And there are a few other things, but those are the predominant ways that people present with this. So if we go back to our hypothetical medical doctor, whom you may or may not have asked to check your adrenals, and then he or she would run a single morning blood test for cortisol, and if it's normal and not low, then you don't have Addison's disease. And because it's also not high, you don't have Cushing's disease. Wonderful. But is it possible, in the absence of disease, to have a change in function that produces symptoms which then impact your quality of life? Is it possible that a single blood test can rule out disease but can't rule out dysfunction? And the answer is a resounding yes. And this is where the wonder and the majesty of functional medicine comes into play. Remember that functional medicine is about function, regardless of the presence or absence of disease. And please don't interpret that to mean that functional medicine docs like myself don't care about disease. We do, or at least we should, because disease always brings dysfunction, but dysfunction does not always come with disease. Let me say that one more time. Disease always brings dysfunction, but dysfunction is not always from disease. So you can have dysfunction, poor quality of life, but not have a diagnosable active disease process. And this is what your medical doctor or the medical doctor in this scenario is missing. It's this last distinction that dysfunction and the resulting erosion of the quality of your life can happen when disease has been ruled out. This is just one of several reasons why so many people are frustrated with conventional medicine for all of its value and benefit. It fails too many people with real problems who are looking for real solutions. Now, just to make sure I give you all the context you need, when you look at the statistics, both Addison's and Cushing's diseases are rare, especially compared to things like Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, which I mentioned before is the most common type of autoimmune disorder. But on average, and this is an average, of course, the numbers are going to vary if you're looking at either Addison's or Cushing's or looking at them together. But if we include them together, on average, only about 100 people out of 1 million are going to get diagnosed with either Addison's or Cushing's disease. Whereas with Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, it's 500 times more common. That's 5,000 people out of 1 million, or to reduce that down to something that's a little easier to handle mentally, it's 5 out of 100 people. So Hashimoto's hypothyroidism is far more common than things like Addison's or Cushing's disease. And the rarity of these true adrenal diseases is also why functional medicine doctors tend not to do just a single morning blood test for cortisol. Because we're not really looking for those things unless the individual case that we're looking at really has a high probability of having those diseases. Instead, we generally opt to use saliva to look at how cortisol is behaving throughout the day, not just first thing in the morning. Remember, we're not trying to rule out disease. We're trying to assess and then improve function. So, and let's just probably a good time to reiterate this, right? Functional medicine doctors should be focused on function, regardless of whether a disease is causing the dysfunction or if the dysfunction is coming from the intersection of diet, lifestyle, and environment with your genetics or with your genetic predispositions. And again, this is a good place to pause for a second and remind you that everything about your health and your health span comes down to your genetic predispositions that are being influenced or expressed through the choices that you make with your diet, your lifestyle, particularly as that relates to exercise and stress and sleep, as well as the environmental load that we're all exposed to. Now, just a moment ago, I reminded you that your adrenal system is a system, right? Not just your adrenal gland, not just your cortisol. And part of how that system works is to produce different amounts of cortisol at different times of the day in what we call a diurnal or circadian rhythm. Cortisol should be highest in the morning because we want to wake up focused, energetic, and motivated to tackle the demands of the day. And we want cortisol to taper off as the day goes on until we see it lowest right before we go to bed because we need to shut off, shut down, and fall asleep. And again, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that cortisol starts to slowly rise during your sleep period until it peaks again the very next morning, and then off we go for another cycle. So understand that there's absolutely no way that the medical approach to checking your adrenals, and I'm using air quotes for those who are listening on podcast and not watching this on YouTube or other video channel, there's no way that the medical approach to checking your adrenals can assess adrenal function throughout the entire day. A single morning blood test is limited to the conclusions about the morning and the likelihood of someone having adrenal disease. And in no way can you assess adrenal function by the standard medical test using the word function in the broader sense. So if you understand that frank adrenal disease is rare, and the more common problem is adrenal dysfunction, and you know that a standard single morning cortisol blood test is inadequate to assess function, the next thing you need to know is that the best and perhaps only way to know what your adrenal system is doing is to use a four-point cortisol test, commonly called an adrenal salivary profile or an adrenal salivary index. So here's how this works. There are a handful of labs that do this and do it well, and the price points for each lab are all around the same. And for the most part, insurance is not going to pay for these. These are functional medicine specialty tests that are outside most coverage, most insurance plans' coverages. And this is one of the less expensive functional medicine specialty tests that I use and teach other doctors also how to use. You can expect to pay, you know, somewhere around maybe $150 or less for a good saliva test here. And the test involves spitting into four separate tubes or plastic vials at different times of the day. The first sample is collected first thing in the morning when we expect cortisol to be its highest. Then right around noon, it should be lower than the morning sample, but higher than the third and the fourth samples, which are then taken. Those third and fourth samples are taken somewhere around 4 PM, and then maybe around 10 o'clock, before bed, assuming somebody's going to bed at a reasonable time. And the labs that do this kind of testing, they take your samples, which, by the way, you collect at home. You don't have to go anywhere to do this. and you send them off yourself, just send them back to the lab. And the labs these days just give you prepaid shipping labor. So you collect your sample, put it back in the box, put it in the shipping bag, and then send it back, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So the labs, they take these samples and they plot the amount of cortisol from each sample on a graph. So you get both numbers that reflect the amount of cortisol being produced at each of these key time frames during the day. Plus, you get a graph that gives you a visual. And to be honest, the graph is the easiest way to quickly understand if your adrenals are balanced or not, since the graph includes a normal zone, and you can easily see if and when your cortisol levels are either too high or too low or just right. And there are many different ways that somebody's cortisol rhythm can be off. You can have a cortisol rhythm that is entirely too high. Every data point is above the lab range. You can have what is commonly referred to as adrenal fatigue, and you guys know how I feel about that terminology. Or you can have that kind of classic adrenal fatigue, adrenal exhaustion profile where all the data points are too low. Or you can have just a single data point, either too high or too low. Or maybe it's jagged, where it's too high, then too low, then too high, then too low. And there's any number of combinations, but you never know what your adrenal system is doing until you look. So getting concrete and objective data on what your adrenal status is just the first step. And before you start thinking or even asking, you know, hey, what supplements can I use to fix my adrenals? Let me remind you that you cannot out-supplement a bad diet, or you can't out-supplement poor lifestyle choices, and you can't out-supplement unresolved stressors. At the very best, you can use supplements to compensate for things that should change that you haven't changed or don't know to change, right? To be fair to everyone, because sometimes you just don't know what the problem is until someone comes along and says, hey, did you think that maybe this could be the problem, right? So the first step is to, number one, define what your adrenals are doing through something like a 4-point salivary profile. And then the next step after you define what your adrenals are doing is to look for ongoing stressors that you have some degree of control over. And remember, there's three types of stress. There's physical, psychological, and physiological. And just as a reminder, and I've said that 3 or 4 times already, most of us think stress, well, that's got to be what I think and how I feel. And yes, that's true. But remember, having a broken arm, a broken leg, a hard physical job that just pushes you and pushes you, or going to the gym and really overreaching and overtraining, or having an infection, being inflamed because you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, or having a leaking infected gut, having hormone imbalances, blood sugar issues, all of these things are physiological stressors. And so when we talk about stress, we tend to narrowly define that as how I think and how I feel, but the best application of that word is in very broad strokes, which runs the gamut of all the different types of stress that your body can be under. So maybe you don't have any bad relationships that need to be repaired or eliminated. Maybe you love your job and, you know, the psychological piece is okay, and maybe you're not killing yourself in the gym and you haven't broken a bone and you have a desk job, so you don't have a lot of physical stress, then the answer has got to be in the physiological realm. It's got to be about your body chemistry and what's going on inside. But again, I'm going down a little bit of a budding trail, but you know, you have to start with knowing what your adrenals are doing and then having a framework of understanding where your stress is coming from before you even think about doing anything in terms of nutritional supplementation. I think that if you or any practitioner that you're working with is just simply throwing adrenal support supplements at you and expecting that to do all the work that needs to be done, then you're probably missing something. But it all starts with the testing, with objective data, right? Then and only then can you decide how to support your adrenals and your nutritional supplements, right? So you've got to look at what stressors are here and what stressors do I have some degree of control over. All right, let me tell you about my lab shop. I mentioned this in the last episode. I've partnered with Rupa Health to bring you the very same tests that I use in my own functional medicine practice with all of my one-on-one clients. And these are the same tests that I teach other doctors to use in their own practices when I travel and teach functional medicine seminars. And I've put the link to my lab shop in the episode description below. And believe me when I say that these tests are state of the art. They're from the most well-known labs in the functional medicine space. And I've arranged to bring them to you as a reward for being a listener. Hopefully you're also a subscriber. But I'm bringing these to you at the very best prices anywhere, like barely above lab cost, right? Let's call it close to wholesale or lab direct pricing. So you can visit my lab shop and order your own salivary adrenal test without making an appointment with me, without spending any money on a consultation fee. So for now, if you want to check out your adrenals on your own, go to my lab shop, use the link in the episode description, choose the salivary adrenal profile from Access Medical Labs. That's your basic standard 4-point cortisol plus DHEA, which we'll talk about here in a second. And you're going to find that in the tier one, T-I-E-R, tier one testing section in my lab shop. Again, the link is in the description for the episode. So we're going to call that a wrap for this episode, but the conversation about adrenals is not finished. The next time we're going to talk about something called the cortisol awakening response, and we're going to talk about the other hormone that the adrenals make, which usually doesn't get as much conversation or press, if you will, as cortisol does, and that's the hormone DHEA. So we're going to talk about the cortisol awakening response and looking at DHEA as part of the adrenal assessment. Please remember to like this episode and subscribe, share it with everybody that you know. Hey guys, I'll see you in the next episode.